Tonight's shiur, Parshas Vayechi. Sedra begins, Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim Shva Asrei Shana V'yime Yaakov Shnei Chayav Sheva Shanim V'arbayim Amas Shana. The life of Yaakov, that was in Mitzrayim, 17 years, etc. Next pasuk says, Vayikruvu Yimei Yisrael Amut. The days of Yisrael came closer to die. V'yikra Livno LeYosef, and called his son Yosef, etc. Question is asked, why the change of names? We start off with Yaakov, Eretz Yisrael, etc., and then Vime Yaakov, and then the next pasuk, Vikrivu Yime Yisrael Lemuz. Yaakov, then Yisrael. What's going on? Also, there's a difficult medrash. The medrash says on those words, Vikrivu Yime Yisrael Lemuz, Mikan Shi Yaakov Avinu Lomes. From here, you see that Yaakov never died. What's going on? So I saw the name of a sefer called Beni Shlomo, based on the Alshach, based on the Gemara in Tainis, Daf Hei Amud Beis. The Gemara says over there also, the name of Rav Yitzchak, said Rav Nachman, the name of Rav Yochanan, Yaakov Avinu Lomeis. Yaakov didn't die. So the Alshach explains, what's Pshah, Yaakov Avinu didn't die? So he says that Yaakov Avinu, he started off as Yaakov Avinu, then Nishmas Yaakov, Neshama of Yaakov was in. Then, later on, another Neshama was added to Yaakov, that of the Nishmas Yisrael. He had the name Yisrael added to him, and then he had the Neshama of Yisrael. So he had the Nishmas Yaakov and Nishmas Yisrael. So therefore, when the Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu Lomeis, what does that mean? It means that the Neshama, the Nishmas Yaakov Lomeis, but the Neshama of Yisrael did die. Mimele, now we can understand the change in the Lashon. Ve'yichi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim. Yaakov lived, because Yaakov never died. Who did die? Ve'yikruvu Yemei Yisrael Lamus. It's Yisrael that died. Yaakov Avinu didn't. Mela Yaakov Avinu Lomeis, as the Midrash says, on the words, Vayikaru Yemei Yisrael Lamus, Mikan Yaakov Avinu Lomeis. Because he didn't. Yaakov Avinu kept living. It was Yisrael that died. Vayikaru Yemei Yisrael Dafka Lamus. It's interesting that, this hit me a few minutes ago actually, that the Gemara says in Tainis, asks after Rav Yitzchak said what he said, so Rav Nachman said back to him, "V'chi bichdi saftu saftanaya v'chantu chantanaya v'kavru kavraya." He says, "What do you mean Yaakov Avinu didn't die? What is it for no reason that they gave him a hesped, that they embalmed him, that they buried him? Haman, how can you say he didn't die?" So it's interesting because I looking into the psukim. Why does the Gemara say these three things? It talks about embalming and giving a hesped and burying, because all these three things are mentioned with Yaakov. But I noticed that in none of these three places does it say Yaakov. Does Yaakov Avinu Lomeis? The most blatant is the first one, when it says later on in Perek Nun, when Yaakov dies, what does it say? V'yitzav Yosef esavadav esarofim lachanot et aviv, to embalm the father, v'yachantu harofim es Yisrael. What does it say? Who do they embalm? It doesn't say in Yaakov, it said Yisrael. So as we said, it's Yisrael that died, not Yaakov Avinu. So the Gemara says, what, they embalmed him for nothing? No, they didn't embalm Yaakov, it says Yisrael, they embalmed Yisrael. And even the other two sources, where it says about the Hesped, and it says about the burial, doesn't say anything about Yaakov. It just says in general, V'yavoad gor natad asher be'eva yarden, v'yispedu sham, misped gadol, big Hesped, v'yas laviv evil shivas yamim, no mention of Yaakov. And also when it says about the burial, Vayisu oso vanav arza kenan, him, didn't say Yaakov, Yikbru oso, he was buried, nowhere does it say Yaakov. It's interesting, it holds through right through to the end of the Parsha, nowhere does it say anything about death when it comes to Yaakov Avinu, only by Yisrael. Only by Yisrael does it mention the Pharaoh's, embalming. And Agav, interesting things, interesting Medrash Talpios. Medrash says that ask why is it that okay Yaakov never died? We find others that didn't die as well. Right? There's even a source about Moshe Rabbeinu, But we know clearly there's like nine tzaddikim mentioned in the Gemara, Yeshua ben Levi, etc., that they went straight to Gan Eden. They didn't die. So the Midrash Kapiyos asks, why Dafka, some die, some don't die? And then Echvefek, why? What about we don't see Avram didn't die, or Yitzhak didn't die. Why Dafka, part of Yaakov, you know, Yisrael, you know? Why is it that some are more righteous than others? Like, why yes some, why others not? It's a very interesting thing. That all the neshamas of Klal Yisrael are really come from where? Where's the source? From Adam Arishon. We all come from Adam Arishon, different parts of Adam Arishon. Some of our neshamas come from Adam Arishon's hair, some from his eyes, his nose, all different parts of the Adam Arishon's body. That's where all the various neshamas come from. It's their source. So, part of the body of a human being, there's a bone. What's that bone called? The loose bone. The loose bone, some say it's part of the spine. And Chazal tell us it's that bone that we come back to life. Tchias HaMesim comes from that loose bone. And the Arizal says that this bone gets its nourishment only from what one eats on Motzei Shabbos. And all the whatever one eats during the weekday doesn't give sustenance to this bone, the loose bone, only what one eats on Motzei Shabbos. That's why it's very important to eat Malava Malka, because that Malava Malka, that's what feeds this loose bone, and that loose bone one comes back to life with Tchias HaMesim. Why Dafka that bone? Why is that the bone of Tchias HaMesim? So explains that since it gets its nourishment only from Motzei Shabbos eating, no other eating during the week, why do people die? We die because Adam Arishon ate from the Eitz Hadas. When did Adam Arishon eat from that Eitz Hadas? When he was the same day that he was created. When? Yom Shishi, Friday. So that eating on Friday, Erev Shabbos, that Adam ate, the loose bone didn't get any nourishment from. Because the loose bone only gets nourishment from Motzei Shabbos. Memele, the whole body dies because all the whole body of Adam Arishon got nourishment from that Eitz Hadas that it ate from, where because of that person has to die, death was decreed because of that, but not the loose bone, because the loose bone doesn't get nourishment only from Motzei Shabbos. Memele didn't get nourishment from that eating of Adam of the Eitz Hadas, that's why the loose bone is the bone that is for Tchias HaMesim and it never dies. Interesting that therefore, comes out that we could say that those tzaddikim that we find that didn't die, they came from the loose bone of Adam Arishon. People come from his hair, from his eyes, nose, we said, but some tzaddikim come from the loose bone of Adam Arishon. The ones that come from the loose bone are those tzaddikim that never die. Meaning, not dafka, they're more righteous than others or whatever, but they happen to come from the neshama, from the loose bone. The loose bone is the bone where there's no misa from. Interesting, somebody asked me recently, if that's the case, if the person comes back to life in the loose bone, well, what about Nebuch, those Yidden that died in the Holocaust, that they were burnt, or cremated, right? What's going to be with them? You know, if you come back from the loose bone, what about these Yidden that were burnt completely? So I showed them a Midrash in Bereshis Rabbah. Andrianos asked the question to Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanani. And so Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanani mentioned that a person comes back to life from this loose bone. So he says, how do you know this? So Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanani says, bring me a loose bone and I'll show you. Fine. So he brought the loose bone to him. He took the bone and he soaked it in water. Nothing happened. Stayed 100%. He tried grinding it up. Wouldn't grind up. Says the Midrash, he put it into fire and it wouldn't burn. And finally they put it on an anvil and he took a hammer to crush it with a hammer. The anvil broke into two, the hammer broke, but the loose bone stayed. So we see it's impervious, it can't be crushed, it can't be hit, it can't be soaked, it can't be burnt, says the Midrash. So we see from here that that's the answer, that Nebuch, the Yidden were burnt. Mustam, if you go through the ash, you'll find a little bone in there that's impervious to burning, to anything. And that's the bone that these tzaddikim will come back, Tchias HaMesim. The Pasuk says, Merk Memches, Pasuk Beis, Vayagel Yaakov v'yomer hinei bincha yosei ba'elecha v'yishchazek Yisrael v'yeshev alamita. So what happened? Yosef got word that his father is sick, and was told to Yaakov, and they said hinei bincha yosei ba'elecha, etc. So someone, the Gra wants to bring a remez from what it says that a person who visits the sick takes away 1/60th of that person's sickness. Where do we see that from here? It says in the pasuk before, "Vayiachared v'imeila v'yomer l'sev hine avicha chole." Hine in gematria, hey nun hey, hey is 5, nun is 50, so hey nun hey is 60. So hine avicha chole, that's 60. What happened? Yaakov came to visit. Yosef came to visit his father, and then what does it say? V'yitchazek Yisrael v'yeshev al hamita. Hamita in gematria is 59. So he was 60, and then he took 1/60th of his sickness. So therefore, v'yeshev al hamita, he went down from 60 to 59. Pasuk says, Pasuches, v'yar Yisrael es b'nei Yosef v'yomer mi'elet. That Yaakov saw Yosef's sons, and he says, "Who are these?" So Rashi brings that, the Chazal, that he wanted to give them a bracha. Yaakov wanted to give Yosef's sons a bracha, but this Shechina left him. Why? Because in the future, Yeravam ben Nevat is going to come from Ephraim, and Yehu ben Nimshi is going to come from Menashe. And therefore, as Rashi brings, he says, "Mehechan yatsu eila she'ena marim lebracha." He says, "Well, what are you bringing me these boys over here that they're not roi the bracha? Because the people are going to come out from them." So then, an interesting remez the Yalkut Gershuni brings up. He says that Vayar Yisrael's bnei Yosef. Bnei, how do you spell bnei? Bet yud nun. He saw the bnei Yosef. So bnei Yosef, those letters bet nun yud are the Rashi Tevis of Yaravam ben Nevat, who's going to come from Ephraim, we said, and Yehu ben Nimshi, also the Beit Nun Yud. That's what he said, who are these boys that these bad people are going to come from? They're B'nai Yosef. So right at Rel Yosef say, no, B'nai Heim, Beit Nun Yud, B'nai Heim, they're mine, meaning, Abba, why are you looking at the negative side? You have to look at the positive side. Who's also going to come out from Ephraim? Yehoshua bin Nun, also Beit Nun Yud. The very difficult Rashi on this pasuk as well says, "B'nai Heim Asher Nasan Li Elokim Bezeh." They're my sons that Hashem gave to me. So Rashi says, "Bezeh." What does it mean, "Bezeh"? Hashem gave me Bezeh. Says Rashi, "Heralo Shtar Erisin V'Shtar Ksuba Ubikesh Yosef Rachamim Ala Davar." So what happened? And then he had Ruach Hakodesh. It's very strange. He wanted to give the, you know, this bracha, but we said that Yaakov saw these bad people going to come from Yosef's sons, and therefore he didn't want to give a bracha. And then what did Yosef say? He goes, "Wait, look, Abba, look at my ksuba, look at my shtar erizin." And but say, what's that got to do with anything? These bad people are going to come from Ephraim and Manasseh. We don't want to give a bracha. So what good does it do to show you that you're ksuba? Well, what's going on over here? So Yosef is the Kenya of the Gevaltik Pshat. Says that, what's the problem? Why is Yaakov Avinu looking at the future? We have a rule, right? We see by Yishmael. Remember when Avraham Avinu sent out Hagar and Yishmael was dying, and the Malachim came, wanted to do away with Yishmael. And Hashem said, no, Basher Husham. You have to look at now. Don't look what's going to be in the future, that the bad is going to come out of Yishmael, in future generations. You have to look at night now. Look at Yishmael now, Basher Husham. So therefore, why is Yaakov Avinu looking at the future? What's going to be? Oh, in the future, you're Avim and Nevat, Ibn Nimshi, but that's the future, Basher Husham, look at now. Now they're from Ephraim and Asher, it's a deacon. Well, who cares about the later? So the Marsha brings that when do we, yes, look at the future? Famous question with Ben Sora Morer, right? Ben Sora Morer, we see that we don't judge him what's now. We look at what's going to be in the future. Things going to be bad in the future, we kill him now. Al Shem Sofo. What's the difference? There's the Marsha, difference is that by the Ben Sora Morer, he is bad but in his roots are bad. Why? Because where does he come from? The famous Chazal that says the order of the over there in Kiseitse starts off with Ishas Yefas Toar and goes to Ben Sora Umora, and then if you start with and you marry Ishas Yefas Toar, in the end you can have a son as a Ben Sora Umora. So Mele, when the roots are bad, then we look at the future. Mele, Abraham and Hagar gave birth to Ishmael. Ishmael's roots are very nice. Abraham, Hagar, very good. So therefore, Bashir Risham, you don't look at the future. So that's bad roots. Therefore, you look at the future. Mimele, now Rashi's clear. Right? Yaakov Avinu, he saw that in the future, these bad people are going to come from Ephraim and Asher. So what did he say? He says, oh, forget it. I'm going to give a bracha. Look who's going to come from them. Meaning, he thought that they are bad roots. There's probably some not good marriage going on over here with Yosef, and as a result, that's why these bad people are going to go. And I have to look at the future, because we said when the roots are bad, when the marriage isn't good, then you have to look in the future, like the Ben Sora Umora. So therefore, Yaakov looked into the future. Hi, along came Yosef and said, "No, Abba, look." He took out his ksuba, his heirs, and he said, "Look, kosher marriage over here, Abba. Don't look at the future. Look at now." Mela, the Yaakov and then could give the bracha. Okay. It's a famous vort. The bracha we give our children Friday night, Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim Menashe. It's a famous question everybody asks. Why are we duff giving the bracha Ephraim and Menashe? Right? When we say you should be like Avram Yitzhak or Moshe Aaron, I don't know, whatever. Why dafka Ephraim and Menashe? What's special Ephraim and Menashe? The Chachmas Amatzpun brings down. Famous answer. Says that Yosef came to, you know, bring his sons to get a bracha from their Zayda, from Yaakov. So what did he do? He lined them up opposite the Yaakov Avinu, so that his right hand should be opposite the Menashe, the Bechor, and his left hand in front of Ephraim, to give him the bracha like that. What do we know? The pasuk says what happened. See, Kelas Yaakov, Yaakov Avinu had other plans, and he switched his hands over, and he put his right hand on Ephraim, and his left hand on Menashe. So Yosef got upset. What are you doing, Abba? Lochein Avi, whatever. He tried to take his hands up, whatever. That's all nice. But one interesting thing we do see is that Menashe himself, there's no mention anywhere that he put up a fuss. He didn't say, "Hey, oh, what are you doing, Grand Sadie? What are you doing? What are you putting your hand? I'm the Bechor. I'm supposed to get the brother." He didn't say anything. Yosef, got, you know, felt bad for his son or whatever. But Menashe himself, the Bechor, didn't say anything. He let Yaakov's left hand go on his head to get the lesser bracha. So we see that he was the Bechor and he saw his brother Ephraim was getting the Iker bracha with his right hand. He didn't say anything. That's tremendous godless. What is that? That shows he didn't have jealousy. He didn't, okay, fine, it's okay with me. So therefore we give a bracha, Yisimcha Elokim Ephraim Menashe, that all our children should be like that. Shouldn't have jealousy, one brother or the other. They should all have this achdus and feel just like Menashe. I didn't feel jealous. And okay, fine. That's what Zaidi wants. Fine by me. So that's Alavai, our children should be like that. Yeah. Brachas. The bracha of Zevulun. So it says, Zevulun lechof yamim yishkon. So Rashi says, Zevulun osek bepragmatia umamtzi mazon l'shevet Yisachar v'hu v'heim oskim b'Torah. We have our famous Yisachar and Zevulun agreement, right? These Zevulun works, and their support, they give the food to Yisachar learning Torah. Let's share a couple of interesting maising. Once when Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, specter of Kovna, when he was a young boy learning Shiva Bachar, very, very poor. So poor that he couldn't afford clothing, proper clothing. And his shoes got worn out, and he got to the point where he couldn't wear them anymore. And it was winter time, whatever, it's cold and raining, snowing, whatever it was in Europe. And such a bad matzav that he couldn't get to the Beis Medrash. He didn't have problem, couldn't go without shoes. And he didn't have shoes. So he had to stay home and learn because he couldn't have shoes to walk to the Beis Midrash. Such a degree. He got word one day that this son of a very, very wealthy man was getting married. So he had a great idea. says, you know, these rich people, as soon as they get married, they get a whole new wardrobe, you know, a new suit, and tie, and shoes, whatever. So he said, a great idea. He says, this rich guy, boy, you know, he doesn't need his, he's getting new shoes, so maybe he'll be nice enough to give me his old shoes. I'll have shoes to wear. I can walk to the base medrash. So he approached the young man, said, you know, asked him, he says, look, I'm sure you got a new pair of shoes for your wedding. Is that, would you mind giving me, you know, I don't have any shoes. Can you give me your old pair of shoes, perhaps? So what did he say? He says, well, why should I give you shoes? You want shoes? Go get a job. Get a job and work and get yourself a pair of shoes. Forget, I'm not giving you my shoes. Okay. No was no. And that was that. He had to stay home and learn. Years later, he became Harav Yitzhak Ochanan Spector, the famous Gadol Hador, Posek Hador. And the story goes, he came once to Vilna. And he was so great that thousands of people, says, brought down, well, it's true or not, 100%, but it says, brought down that 20,000 people came to greet him when he came to Vilna. And he came to publish a book. He had a book he wrote and he wanted to get it published. So he came to Vilna. 20,000 people came to visit him, and to such a degree that the mayor or whatever of the city of the area over there said, "You can't come back here." Why? He said, "Because the Tsar doesn't get as much covet as you do, and it's a pegiah in the covet of the Tsar to hear this rabbi is getting more covet than the Tsar." So he says, "Forget it. You can't come back here anymore." Aikadeka. Anyway, so he shows up, and this guy that once didn't give him his shoes, also, hey, you know, wow, he heard about who's this big rabbi coming, whatever. So he heard that he wants to publish it, and he was a very wealthy man, you know. So he came up to Rabbi Yitzchak Ochanan, and he says, oh, I hear you want to publish your book? On me, the whole thing. I'll pay for everything, the publishing, distributing, all everything. My honor, please, I'd like to. So Rabbi Yitzchak Ochanan recognized who this guy was, and he said, sorry, pal, it's too late. You blew it. So he left, and the Talmidim said, what was that all about? What do you mean, too late? Why is he too late? Why? What's going on? So he told him, he says, you know, I told him the story. Does this guy, you know, when I was a bacher, I was so poor, I didn't have shoes. I asked him if Pashas had his shoes so I can get to the base measures. He said, had he given me his shoes, who knows, I could be even a greater gadol. I would have been able to go to the base measures, learn the base measures like a mensch. Instead, I had to stay at home. So who knows what madrigas I would have come to had I been able to, and he would have had a chelik in that. If he had given me his shoes, he would have the chelik in my Torah, but it would have been because of him, and I would have been able to make it to the base medrash. But because of him, I didn't make it to the base medrash. So that's why I told him, listen, now you want the cup, but forget it, it's too late. Other maises, once the gedolim, he was, he saw this old yid, from a yid, an old yid, and he was selling, like, he had a little wagon, he was selling like sandwiches and drinks, whatever. And he felt bad for this poor yid, you know, selling these things on the street and, you know, having a rough time, an older man. So he just, you know, felt bad for him, so he bought a sandwich from him, whatever. And he was schmoozing with him a little bit, you know, about this and about that, where you come from. So, and then while they're talking, the old man tells this Rav, he says, you know, I'll tell you, when I was a kid, and lived in a small town in Lita, and our house was mamish adjacent to the Rav's house, and the Rav of the town was very poor, and he had a boy who was Ilui, was a very, very smart boy, and one day I was sitting in my house, and I overheard from the other side of the wall in the little Rav's house that the boy was crying. And what was he crying about? He was crying to his father that he wants to go to yeshiva. He said, "Abba, send me to yeshiva." He's crying, "I want to go to yeshiva. I want to go to yeshiva." So the father said, "Look, I'd love to send you to yeshiva, but I can't. I don't push it. I don't have any money. We don't have money to eat. How can I send you to yeshiva? I have no money. I can't send you." So he said, the boy, he said, kept crying. He said, "Oh, Abba, please, please, I want to go to yeshiva, yeshiva." He said, when I heard that, my heart, I was crying with the boy. He said, I felt terrible. Here's a boy, so much, such a chuka, such a desire to learn, wants to go to yeshiva, and his father, he'd love to send him, but he just didn't have the money. And it hurt me so much, I was I couldn't. I was crying with him. So I decided, you know, I don't care. I'm going to do whatever I can to get some money together so this boy can go to yeshiva. So even though times were really tough, in general it was hard to make a buck, but I went out and I worked as hard as I can, and sure enough, I made some money. And once I had a nice amount, I went, knocked on the door of the Rav, and Rav said, "What can I do for you?" I put my hand in my pocket, I took out the money, I said, "Here, Rav, take this money." And Rav says, "What's this all about?" He says, "I want you to have this money because I want you to send your son to yeshiva. I want you to send your son to yeshiva." He says, "Oh, thank you so much. You know, wow, so kind of you." And he took the money, he sent his son to yeshiva. So he said, I don't know where to be, or they became of the kid, but, you know, Baruch Hashem, I feel like, you know, I did the right thing. I got this boy to yeshiva." So the Rav said, who was this boy? You know, she says, "I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know whatever happened to him." But he said, do you remember his name, perhaps?" So the old man says, "Yeah, I remember his name, but I don't know what happened to him." She says, "So why? What was his name?" He says, "Name is Aaron Cutler." He goes, "What? Aaron Cutler?" He said, "I'll tell you who this guy was. I'll tell you who he is." And this old man over here is brought to the world with Gdol Yador. Move on towards the end of the parsha. The Perek Nun, Pasuk Tesvav, is a very interesting Balaturim. Pasuk says, "V'yirachei Yosef ki mesavihem, v'yomru lu yistameinu Yosef." So Yosef's brother saw that the father died. Now they said, "Uh-oh, now our brother Yosef, he's going to take revenge against us now. V'ashiv lanu es kol ha-ra'a asher gamalnoton. Everything we did to him, he's going to give it back to us." So difficulty is the word lu, right? Lu means halavai. Like, oh, halavai, you know, you hope something will happen. It doesn't fit in over here. Lu yistameinu Yosef. What? Oh, halavai, Yosef will hate us and he'll take advantage, he'll prevent. Don't say halavai. It's a negative. What's this halavai? So then there's Balaturim. He says, "Yesh mefarshim lu yistameinu Yosef kolomar halavai yistameinu Yosef belibo velo yaseh lanu maisa." So first thing he says is, what's the halavai? Halavai, it should just be in his heart and he doesn't do anything bad to us. So halavai, at least it should only be in his heart. But he continues and he says the following, "Ve'im chafetz lasos lanu," and even if he does decide to do something bad, then, as the rest of the pasuk says, "Yashiv lanu kol hara'a shegma," let him give back all the bad that we did to him. Meaning, "Kima asinu lo," what did we do to him? "Garamnu lo shenaseh melech machmat shemachrenu." Yeah, we sold him, but what happened after we sold him? He became the melech. "V'yitgalgel hadavar v'naseh melech mitzrayim." So kein yaseh lanu. He became the king of Egypt. Fine. Alavai, ulu, alavai Yosef should do the atas. Do something bad to us, then it'll lead that we should become great, great people like him. The Balatur. So the Malbi mads that, what did Yosef answer him? So Yosef said, "Hatachas Elokim ani." He says, "Am I in the place of God?" Meaning, says the Malbim, this was his answer. He says, "Don't worry, you have nothing to worry about, because only God can do something like that, right? In order to take revenge, I would have to take revenge the way you did bad to me. I have to do, and how did you do bad to me? You did bad to me, which led to good. I can't do that. A human being can't do it. How can I do bad to you that in the end I know will good will come out of that? Hatachas Elokim ani? I can't do that. So never, you have nothing to worry about. Because just to do bad to you, that wouldn't be fair. Because you did bad to me that led to good. So I have to do the same. And Hatachas Elokim ani? I'm not in the place of God that can do such a thing." It's interesting. Again, I don't know how authentic it is, but fits in very nice over here. The mice is with Napoleon Bonaparte. Was the French Caesar. So he was very powerful, and he was conquering one country after another. So he got to this city in Russia, and this city was had a wall around it. So it wasn't easy to conquer. And he couldn't penetrate. So what did he do? He put a siege on it. He surrounded the city so that nobody can go in or out of the city. meaning can't leave the city, eventually their food supply runs out, and so he can conquer. So he surrounded the city with all his soldiers and waiting until they just come out with the flag that they give up. They're waiting, day after day after day after, and they're not giving in. So you know what to do, and the Chayalim are getting antsy, and they say, well, how long are we going to sit here? And they decide they want to leave, and it was going bad, not good much. Napoleon said, okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go in disguise with one of my officers, and we're going to go into the city, and I'm going to see where what the matzav is. Listen in, see what the see if they're planning on giving up or not. So that's what he did. Went out of his clothes, of the Caesar's clothes, and he got in a regular pashta clothes, and he took his officer with him, and also dressed simply. And they went in. So where do you go when you want to find out the latest news? Of course, the bar. So they go into the local bar, and they sit down, order a couple of drinks, and they're listening in on what's going on. Okay. So they hear, sure enough, some Russian chayalim are there talking, and saying to each other, it's getting to be ridiculous, there's no food to be had, and that's it. It's just a matter of time now. I guess we're just going to have to surrender, and that's the end of that. So Napoleon hears this, he goes, ah, geshmak, great. Ruch Hashem, looks like this is it. He didn't say Ruch Hashem, but this is it. It's coming to an end. But then all of a sudden, what happens? One of the Russian chayalim turns to his friends. He says, I don't believe it. He says, look over there. Look over there. Napoleon. He's here in the bar. He's sitting right over there. So Napoleon here says, oh my gosh. He turns white. He says, he noticed me. He couldn't believe it. He thought he was disguised as well, but the soldier noticed him. He said, this is Napoleon. So the friends looks at him. Ah, come on. Napoleon can't. That can't be. Man. They weren't sure though. So the Napoleon's officer that he brought with him was a quick thinker. He says, we got to do something. We got to take out any suffix in their mind. This is Napoleon. So what do you do? So in a loud voice, he said to Napoleon, he says, hey, go get me a drink, okay? So he goes to the bar, Napoleon walks over, gets a drink, and comes back. And as he's approaching to give it to this, his officer, he spills it on him. So the officer jumps up and he says, you fool, how can you do that? And he smacks him, Napoleon across the face. He says, get out of here, I can't take you anywhere. Anyway, so Napoleon runs out of the bar. And after cleaning himself off, this guy then, the officer goes up to the, thing to pay. And as he's paying, he hears the soldier says, we told you it's not Napoleon. Nobody's going to smack Napoleon across the face like that, It's obviously wasn't him. And that's the end of that. So after they came back to the camp, this officer, came up to Napoleon and he fell to his feet and he says, oh, please forgive me, what I did. I slapped you and I'm sorry. How can you ever forgive me? So Napoleon said, listen, I would love to give you back what you did to me. But to give you back to me, it would mean I would have to, hit you in such a way that would save your life. So you hit me, that saved my life. Had you not hit me, I would have been in the end, they would have caught me, and so your hitting saved my life. So yeah, I'd love to give you back, but giving back to you would mean hitting you and saving your life. I can't do that. How am I supposed to do that? So therefore, instead, I'm going to raise your rank, give you a lot of presents. You did guns fine, no problem over there. So therefore, same thing over here as we saw with Yosef. He said, don't have to have anything to worry about. Because you want to give back. How am I going to give back? To give back to you, I'd have to do what you did to me. And that is ra, that leads to good in the end. And I'm not in the place of a Kodesh Baruch Hu to do such a thing. But Hashem, we just to finish Sefer Bereishis, and Hashem Yazor, continue to steig, go from Bereishis to Shmos, and see the Sefer Geula, Sefer Shmos, the Sefer Geula, and that's chus would be all zoche to the Geula Shlema, b'mehirah v'yameinu.